week, but we stopped and didn't completely finish that chapter. There's still a little bit to look at there, so let's go, if you will, to chapter number 17.
And look down about verse number 24. Verse 24, we got through the first 23 verses with the information about Absalom and David getting the word, if you will, that what Absalom's plans were, and how that David's friend on the inside there was able to help him, and you know, the counsel of Ahithophel came to naught, and Hushai was helpful in changing that situation, getting that plan over with. So those things have come to pass. But look, if you will, in verse number 24. Verse 24. It said, "Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Jeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammah, and Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for the Word of God and for the things that you show us. And I pray now, just take these few thoughts, just take this time and give us some wisdom, give us some insight, give us some instruction, speak to our hearts and help us to know more about you and be more like you and follow you in everything that we do. And we'll just thank you and praise you for everything tonight. Give us a burden for lost folks and a desire to see somebody saved. And we'll thank you again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want you to notice as we're kind of finishing this up, we're looking at David and precursor, I guess you'd say, to the battle that he's about to have with his own son, Absalom. This is just kind of setting the stage and getting you ready for that. And I don't know what your Bible heading may be. Most of them probably got something about, you know, there's about to be war between Absalom and David. Mine has it this way. It says, "Absalom pursues David into the land of Gilead." And that's, of course, exactly what is going on, what's happening. That you see that both of these men that have different intentions. So something is about to give and something's got to happen. And you know, you and I realize, I mean, we can read this and we understand, we know really where it's going, but you just wonder if you were there. I imagine there was some sort of tension and some sort of anticipation and some sort of leeriness in the hearts of those that followed David, and then probably some kind of boldness and hardness and harshness even about those that would follow Absalom. They think Absalom is about to overthrow the government entirely, if you will, and take over the kingdom from his daddy, who was the rightful God-appointed king in David. So that's where we're going. And as you see, we'll call this David's friends come through again. I just want you to look at that as we go here. Chapter number 18 really gets into the fight part, if you will, the battle. But this is just sort of a preparation for that. So let's look at it, and this is just going to kind of be brief tonight. So let's look at it, and we'll see what's about to transpire. But first of all, I want you to notice this. We'll talk about the verses 24, 25, 26, 20, 27, somewhere around in there, 26. We'll end it there, but we'll talk about this. The shocking problem. The shocking problem. I mean, this is really something that is, well, unnecessary, but because of who's involved, it really, really should be a shock to all of them, in the whole nation of Israel at this time. I mean, this is something that you see, I guess, and even in our day, but it sure is crazy when you see it happening. As a matter of fact, you could look at some small countries, and I don't know that any major countries right now, but in a lot of small countries, you see that there is a civil war and an infighting that has gone on. As a matter of fact, there's been some in the news recently, some of the smaller countries in maybe Africa or the Central America area, some of those, where there's always a struggle for power. Well, that's what you've got tonight. There is a struggle for power. So let's look at this, if you will, and realize this problem. It's civil war. I mean, that's, if you want to just name it as you and I would think of it, David is in a tough spot. I mean, when you think about this, hey, this thing is civil war. And don't you understand this? This is something that began as it was foretold to David. When David was after the sin with Bathsheba, and he was discovered, and Nathan came out, and Nathan began to tell him about the judgment of God on him, and he began to say, look, you're going to live, but the sword is never going to leave your house. As a matter of fact, you and your kids after you, you're going to have problems. Now, again, I think we've talked about this before, but David might not have had a real good idea about what kind of problems he's going to face. But right now, he's in the middle of it, isn't he? He's got his own son. But I want you to notice this. As you begin to read this, it talks about where they are. It says, David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Now, of course, Absalom has no idea absolutely where David is. He's on the hunt for him. Now, Mahanaim is a city that is north and east of Jerusalem and in that northern eastern part of Israel. It's in a particular area, and I probably should have got you a map, but I didn't bring one to show you. But they're in this particular area, and as I say, Absalom has no idea where David is. He might have a general idea, but he doesn't know exactly where he is. So he's out hunting for him. And according to the Bible scholars that know about these lands and territories, here he is, here's David, at a place called Mahanaim. And it says, and Absalom passed over Jordan, the river Jordan, heading from the west side of Israel over to the east side. And he's probably some 30 to 35 miles from where his father is encamped with his army. There's a space between them. And I want to tell you something. God still knows what he's doing. Amen. God's still able to keep a space between you and those that want to have your life and that want to see you do badly, that want to see some things torn down. So there's a distance between them, but I guarantee you Absalom is hunting with everything that he's got. So I want you to notice this. As I say, this is civil war. This is, as it mentions here in verse number 25, and Absalom made Amasa the captain of the host instead of Joab. Joab is still loyal to David. He's with him. So Absalom has to have a head over his army, and he picks this fellow by the name of Amasa. Well, if you read through all the little fine print here, it says his name was Amasa. Which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra of Israel and an Israelite, and went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Jeruah, Joab's mother. In other words, what it boils down to is that Joab and this Amasa fella are cousins. They are cousins to one another. And as a matter of fact, what that makes Amasa to David would be Amasa's uncle. And then, of course, you know already you've got Absalom and David, son and father, that are fighting against each other. So you really, you want to talk about a civil war. I mean, hey, when you think about this, it is really a terrible thing. And not only that, it winds up being probably in the worst case. This thing right here is about to tear apart an entire family. It's working on a family. And isn't that sad when you've got folks in a family that are so hungry for power, position, wealth, or whatever it is, but that's who Absalom is. We told you, Absalom, man, he's the tall, handsome, good-looking leader kind of guy, got the whole country on his side, and now he's about to tear a nation apart as well as his own family. I mean, here it is. This is a family thing. It's something that was foretold, and it began that way, or something that Nathan told David, hey, this is what's going to happen. But now it even brings it on down to this point where this is going to break apart a family. But not only that, if you're reading in between everything that's gone on, you understand that what happens here is burdening the future of all Israel. And really, if you're looking at it prophetically, it doesn't just burden the future of Israel. It burdens the future for the Messiah to come. Because listen, this is the way God has set it up. David's on his throne. David is the king. And God has promised on down the line. He promised it to David. He had promised it before David that this was where the Messiah was coming through, was this family line. And in that, David would be the king. As a matter of fact, you read over in the New Testament and you'll read much about David, the king of Israel. You'll read about David, the heir of the throne, and his heir following that would be the Christ of God, which is Jesus, our Savior. So there's a whole lot that hangs upon this whole idea of a civil war that's going on. And that's why I say this is a very shocking problem. I mean, this is an issue that, man, it's caused a big ruckus and a big roar. But I'm telling you, while they're there, as I say, here are these that are loyal to David. And we don't know how many that is. It's not near as many as what Absalom has gathered up that are of the nation of Israel. And he's got them following him. But man, these two things are about to come to a head-on collision. So David and his men are out in this area called Mahanaim. And Absalom and his forces have crossed over the Jordan River. And they're headed towards David. And this is going to be a battle. As I say, when we get into chapter number 18, well, it comes, but it goes pretty quickly too. So you're going to see this is something that really, I mean, if you wanted to think of it, it's more of a family feud, but it winds up affecting the entire nation and future of Israel. But secondly, I want you to notice this, and this is what we'll talk about probably more than anything. I want you to see some shining performances. Now, David's in a situation. David's in a wilderness land. David is in a place, maybe not real familiar with it. He knows it. He's been here before. But I want you to think about this. Mahanaim. Now, if you studied your Bible, you know that name pops up and it means something in all of our minds. Well, what does that mean? Mahanaim was the place where Jacob was when he was waiting for his brother Esau to come and thought they might have war. It was the same place where the same thing that's about to happen with David almost is what Jacob feared more than anything might happen to him. And he's there. And in this place, you remember when Jacob first goes to this place of Mahanaim, Jacob's there and he's like, He's trying to find a place to sleep. And as he finds a pillow there to sleep on, it's a stone. And as he sleeps, he sees a ladder that seems to ascend to heaven. And he sees angels going up and down. And when he wakes up, and he said, I just didn't realize it, but I'm in the house of God. Later on, he comes back to that same place. And he says that it's Mahanaim, which means the place of two camps. In other words, there's two different types of things going on here, which was, of course, very prophetic for him. The old Jacob and then the new Israel. There's two things going on. And while we could say that Jacob, while he was there, he saw heavenly angels. While David is there, David begins to see some earthly heaven-sent angels. I mean, there's some men that come into the life of David that you and I need to have in our lives. That's why I talked about this David's friends come through again. I mean, when you think about it, man, the nighttime comes in our lives many times. We sing that song. Brother Ronnie sings a song that says, the darker the night, the brighter the light shine. Can I tell you, the light shine the very brightest at the darkest place in our lives. The lights that God sends, God sends you some help, God sends you some blessing, God sends you something from Him, and it shines the very brightest at the darkest times in your life. Now I want you to notice what your Bible tells you about this dark day in David's life. It says in verse 27, it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, listen to what it says, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelium, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, so on and so forth. They brought him a bunch of supplies. I mean, man, here's his guys out here in the desert, and they had to just get up and leave. I mean, they had to grab what they could, take off running, and just, as we say, do the best they could. And they wasn't a local Walmart down there, amen? I mean, they wasn't no grocery store. They wasn't nothing. And as I say, here they are in the northwest corner of the area of Jerusalem, and it's not, you know, super inhabited or populated or anything. And here's David and his band of warriors, and they need something to give them some sustenance. They need something to sleep on. I mean, they just need all kind of help right now. But aren't you glad when you get in those situations where you need some help, God's got somebody that He can put on the place. Amen? So first of all, I want you to notice as we read about these men. Look what it says. Here's these three men mentioned in verse 27. And it said they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. Why? For they said, well, they're hungry and they need something to eat and they're thirsty and weary. They're out here in the wilderness. Thank God when you get in a spiritual wilderness, God's got somebody that can come to you. Thank God, first of all, I want you to notice, these were some generous men. I mean, you think about it. Here's three men. Amen? Y'all think about that just for a minute. If God sent in a crew of women and they started cooking, well, praise God for that. But, I mean, He got three men to do some stuff. Amen? Ladies, are y'all impressed with that? Y'all want to meet these guys and see if you can hook them up with somebody and get married? Say, here's a pretty good guy. Look what they did. I mean, here they are bringing all kinds of groceries. I mean, these guys have brought things. And listen, I don't tell you, they're better than most of us men. I might bring you a case of beans. Amen. I bring you a case of beans. But you know what you'd be saying? Well, preacher, we need a can opener. You got a can opener? Oh, well, no, I didn't think about that. Well, these guys kind of thought about a few things, didn't they? I mean, it said they brought beds, and they brought basins, and they brought earthen vessels. I mean, they brought stuff to cook in. They brought stuff, you're going to fix groceries. Hey, you got something to put in the oven. Amen. They brought a casserole dish, not just the stuff, okay? So, you know, these guys are a little bit sharper than what some of us think they are. And look, then they brought all the foods that it mentioned there. I mean, hey, they brought the good stuff. They went in there and said, well, they're going to need some wheat and some barley and flour and some parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse. Hey, I mean, you can make a meal out of that, can't you? But you know what they said? They might want something sweet. We bring some honey and butter. Somebody ain't been that. I mean, I hope they knew how to make biscuits, because that'd go awful good with that, wouldn't it? It's about butter and honey and sheep and kine, the cheese of kine, which means a cow. It was a cheese made from cow's milk. And, man, they brought all this stuff. These guys, I want you to notice, first of all, these were generous men. These were generous men. Not only do you notice that they're generous men, I want you to notice these are grace-filled men. Now, let's just kind of look at these guys for a minute and let's see where these actions of grace came from. First of all, let's talk about Shobi. You see him there? I kind of figure, you read that name, and I figure he must be Japanese. Somebody's amen right there, Shobi. But he's not, okay? It begins to give us a little history about who he is. It says his father is a fellow by the name of Nahash. Now, we have talked about his father before, but it was all the way back in 1 Samuel before Saul became king. You remember the little incident, and I think we read over and talked about it a little bit at least, about some men that were in a certain city, and this king by the name of Nahash came to them and was going to overtake them, and he said, we can come in and we can kill you, or you can give up. And they said, well, we'll make a deal with you. We'll see what we can do about giving up. And the king said, well, if you're going to give up, he said, here's my terms. You got to let us come in there and put out every one of you in the right eye. We're taking out everybody's right eye, and we're going to lay the blame on the people of Israel. That's Nahash. And if you remember a little bit further on up, a little bit closer in our studies back in 2 Samuel, and I think it's chapter number 9, if I'm not mistaken. Chapter number 9, maybe I'm wrong here. Let me hit my notes for a minute. 10, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 10. It says, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died. That's Nahash. And his son Hanun reigned in his stead. If you remember this story, David said he was going to send a kindness. He wanted to go down and say something good to this king. Nahash had passed away. He wanted to give the new king a little, saying, I'm sorry, and send his servants down there and, you know, give a gift or to comfort him or whatever. But when they got there, you remember what happened? They got their beards shaved half off. Got their clothes cut off of them. And they were returned half naked and half shaven of their face. Now this is Nahash. This is Nahash's son Hanun. But this is another son of Nahash by the name of Shobi. Can I tell you something? I say back in those days. I say in our days. And David came in and cleaned out that bunch. I mean, he got rid of them from Hunan. He came in and did away with those guys, attacked them, you know, did away with them and caused them to be subservient to him. If that happened and somebody attacked you, what do you think your brother would do? I hate them. I'm going to get them. I'm going to bring some kind of retribution upon. But can you imagine? Here's Shobi. His dad was a hateful old king. His brother acted in some horrible ways. And now what does he do? He gets filled with grace. He comes on the scene and he says, you know what? David was wronged. And the thing that my father did was wrong back when Saul, but right before Saul became king. All those things. He realized they were all wrong, and he wanted to make it right. So you know what he did? He got filled with grace, instead of got filled with hate. He got some grace in him, and he said, I'm going to act as a gracious man toward King David. And here he is. He didn't have to do that. He could have had the, I ain't going to help him. I hope he gets what he deserves. I hope everything bad happens. But he steps up and he's by himself. We don't see anybody else here with him as far as his own people. But he comes in and he's filled with grace. Thank God for people that have their hearts filled with grace rather than hate and respite and disrespect and everything else that you could have. Amen? So that's Shobi. But let's look at another guy. And his name might even look a little bit familiar to you. A guy by the name of Machir. M-A-C-H-I-R. Machir. And listen to what it says where he's from. The son of Amiel of Lodibar. Anybody remember Lodibar? Lodibar was the land where Mephibosheth was after his nurse tried to run out of the city with him when his father and grandfather were being killed in a battle. His nurse took him and ran with him and fell, and it damaged his legs. He became, the Bible said that he was crippled upon both of his legs. And he went down to the land called Lodibar. And guess what? They didn't have any kin folks. They didn't have any royal palace. They didn't have anything. I mean, it's a pretty low-lying area. But there was a fellow down there by the name of Machir. And you know what he did? He took Mephibosheth in, and he became really, we'd say, a foster parent to Mephibosheth. There was nobody else in his family. Everybody else dead. Only Mephibosheth. But here's a fella. And you know what that says? I mean, he could have said, I don't want that boy. Why, another king's going to take over. And if I get caught with him, I'll be in trouble. If anything happens, oh, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this boy. Look at him. He's badly mistaken. He's hurt. He's just going to be a problem. But you know what he said? I'm going to have some grace in my heart. Amen? And he took him in, and he took care of him as his own child. And he raised him until the day that David called and said, is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto them? And, of course, David brings him up, and guess what? Machir is no longer the foster dad to that boy because David said, I'll take it from here. I'll raise him. He'll live in his own ancestral promised places. And then, guess what? Guess what, Machir? You don't have to feed him anymore. He's going to eat at the king's table every day. And boy, isn't that a blessing? I mean, he was a man already had grace in his life. But now, when he sees that David is in a hard spot and a bad place, you know what he says? Hey, David showed grace. Let's see if I can't show some. Amen. Sometimes you and I need to be around some people that show grace. And you know what? You'll never go wrong by showing grace to people. You'll never go wrong by saying, hey, I know things happen. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has incidents in their life. Everybody has trouble. Hey, you know what, men, you need to do? We need to learn how to show grace. Amen. You need to learn how to show grace. So here this man is, and he has shown grace. And then it says there's one more guy by the name of Barzillai. And he's of the Gileadite of Rogelim. Now, he's full of grace because he's an old man. If you read on over, I think it's in chapter number 19. We'll get there eventually to that. He talks about being over 80 years old. He tells David, he said, David's wanting him to go with him or talking to him about going and, you know, going back to the city and reestablishing his capital and all that. And Barzillai looks at him and he says, hey, I'm an old man. He said, I'm an old man. And he said, I've lost my hearing. I've lost my ability to taste. Can't see good. He said, I really wouldn't be any help to you. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you all I can, David. Amen. I just want to show some grace. Can I tell you, these three men are pictures in your Bible of grace. I mean, they just, and apparently maybe Barzillai, he might be well off and have some properties and some things, whatever it is. We don't know exactly very much about him, but we do know that he was a man that was filled with grace. And then last of all, look at this. These were some godly men. I mean, look at this. They brought all of this stuff. It says in verse number 29, they brought all these things for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty. And in this wilderness, here's all these guys. And they got all these troubles. And you know what? Maybe we can help them and bless them. I mean, that's a godly attitude. That's a godly action. That's a godly way of looking at life and the things of life. And you know what? I believe God would have me and you learn some lessons from these shining performances of these men. I mean, they just said, you know what? God's given to us. God's been good to us. So why can't we spread a little bit of that grace, a little bit of that goodness, a little bit of the stuff that God has done? Let's just get up and go do it. Amen? Aren't you glad there's people like that in this world today that still have the ability? I was watching television here a couple of days ago, I guess it was, and there was an advertisement that came on, and it was Franklin Graham. And then, you know, whatever you think, that's up to you. But he said, showed a picture of those areas over in the east, out in the far east, where they'd had these terrible earthquakes recently. And he said, our team from Samaritan's Purse is there. And they had established a mobile hospital set up out in, it was tents, it was, you know, stuff that they had framed up and that was portable. They'd moved it in and set up. He said, we've got surgery suites, we've got doctors, we've got nurses, we've got staff, we got everybody we need that's out there. Now, why did they do that? Because they just wanted to show a little bit of the grace of God. Amen? What do you say? I'm saying me and you ought to fashion ourselves after that. I know we've seen and talked much about the folks over in North Carolina, Western North Carolina. Brother Ralph Sexton has a group over there that's called Hearts with Hands. And they were working and working and working and all of these things that were going on over here. And then you know what happened? All of a sudden out in California, they started having those wildfires. And Brother Ralph put out a message that said, yeah, we're loading up our teams and we're headed out to where the folks are stricken in these fires. Why? Why not? We wouldn't stay over here and stay with your people and take care of North Carolina. Nope, we're going to go out there and help them. You know why? Because they need grace too. Amen? I'm just telling you, friend, there's some times when you and I need to understand there's some people that need your help. And you'll see this lesson in here. David has shown grace. You can go back and look at all three of these men. David has shown some form of grace in their lives. And brother, I want to tell you something. You show it, and God will send it back to you again. You cannot, you never will outgive God in what He's doing. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song tonight, if you will. Just kind of wanted to run that through there, kind of short and sweet on that. I know we got our little business.